The grace of God is one of the essential components of the gospel message. And it can be generally defined as God's favor toward the unworthy. Anybody here with me ever felt unworthy of one thing or another? I know I have. But the grace of God can be generally defined as God's favor toward the unworthy. Anybody here with me have a little trouble extending favor to someone that you think isn't worthy of that favor? Can anybody lift an honest hand with me? And sometimes they say, wait a minute, do they really deserve my favor? Another definition generally of the grace of God is His goodwill toward the undeserving. Have you ever said about someone, they don't deserve that? Why did they get that? Why didn't I get that? Anybody here, can you lift an honest hand? And some of you are more sanctified than I am. Praise the Lord. I'm not who I was, and I'm not yet who I'm going to be. Amen? The bottom line, I believe, is that the grace of God is the essence of the good news of the gospel. If you really think about it. According to the book of Acts in chapter 20, verse 24, check it out, make a note of it. The grace of God is the essence of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In His grace, catch this now, God is willing to forgive us and to bless us abundantly. Abundantly, let's say that together. Abundantly, in spite of the fact that in and of our sinful selves, we don't deserve to be treated so well or dealt with so generously. Now, in order to begin to fully appreciate the grace of God toward us, we need to do some reflection. We need to thoroughly consider who we were without Christ. Can anybody remember your BC days, your before Christ days? Trying to forget it, right? But we need to thoroughly consider who we were without Christ and who we become with Christ.
Hallelujah.
Tomorrow is my spiritual birthday.
Hallelujah.
March 15th. I submitted my life to Christ. March 15th, 1992. And so I'm in a little bit more of a place of reflection as I look back on what I was before Christ and who I've become in Christ. And so this is a timely message for me. Hopefully for some of you as well. But it's important, in order for us to fully appreciate the grace of God toward us, we need to do some reflection, considering who we were without Christ and who we become with Christ. Psalm 51, verse 5 reminds us that we were born in sin from the time of our natural birth. Every human being is born in sin with a sinful nature. There's no escaping it. And even after we come to Christ, even after we submit our lives to Christ, we still have that struggle with the sinful nature. Anybody here with me still struggling with your sinful nature?
Yes.
I don't struggle with it as much as I used to.
Right.
And I don't plan on struggling with it as much in the future. Amen?
Amen. Yes.
But make no mistake about it, we were born in sin. And then in Romans chapter 3, verses 9 to 20, I'm not going to read all those verses. I would encourage you to meditate on those verses this week. It says that everyone in and of our sinful selves is unrighteous. Now, everyone has fallen short of God's holy standards. Everyone. And none of us has any means of justifying ourselves in and of ourselves. We're spiritually blind and dead in and of ourselves, deserving of eternal punishment and in peril of eternal death. Ooh. In and of ourselves, that's really what we deserve. But then came the grace of God.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
But then came the grace of God to save us.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
According to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, God extended His favor to you. For it is by grace, that being God's remarkable compassion and favor, which draws you to Him through Christ, so that you have been saved. Meaning that you have actually been delivered from eternal judgment. Let that sink in for a minute. You have actually been delivered from eternal judgment and given eternal life in exchange. Amen?
Amen.
By way of your repentant belief and trust in Him. Amen?
Amen.
If you're here today and you haven't yet admitted your sinfulness, you might as well do it today. Because it's not going to change until you admit it. And you repent of it. And you believe and trust in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord. Amen?
Come on. Hallelujah.
That's the only way it's going to change.
Hallelujah. Come on.
Amen?
Yes. Amen.
Do it today if you haven't already done it. In this salvation that we have in Christ, it's not of ourselves, through our own effort, that we're saved. There's a lot of religions that preach that and teach that. That it's salvation by works, or that it's salvation by how much you can do. There's no liberty in that. Because I could never do enough to please a perfectly holy God.
That's right. That's right.
And if I only sinned once in my life, which I've sinned a few more times than that, by the way. If I only sinned once in my life, I couldn't stand in the presence of a holy God and go to heaven. Because He can have no sin before Him.
Right.
Not even one sin.
Right.
And so there would have to be a price paid for that one sin that I committed.
No.
To get rid of that one sin so that I could be in heaven.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
There's no forgiveness without the shedding of blood. That's what the Bible says. And in the Old Testament, they would shed the blood of sacrificial animals symbolically as a sign of God's forgiveness through the people's repentance. But then came the grace of God through Jesus Christ,
Hallelujah.
Our Savior and Lord, amen, who shed His perfectly sinless blood one time for all of mankind, amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
But we have to participate with that.
Yes.
We have to choose to participate with that.
Right.
By admitting our sinfulness. And by repenting of our sinfulness, by turning away from our sinfulness, by saying, Lord God Almighty, I don't know how I'm going to do it. I'm struggling with my sinful ways, but I want to turn away from my sinful ways. I want to do a 180. And I want to turn towards Your ways. That's really what repentance is.
Yes.
A heart desire to turn away from your sinful ways. Amen? When you go to God with that kind of fervor, and believe and trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, then His grace floods in
Amen.
To help you.
Hallelujah.
To help you to sin less and less. We're not going to be sinless. I still sin, but I don't sin as much as I used to. We can sin less and less with the help of God's grace through Christ Jesus as Savior and Lord. That's the only way. That's the only way. Let's say that together. That's the only way. It's not in and of ourselves, through our own effort, but it's the undeserved gracious gift of God who has extended His favor to us. Let that sink in for a minute. Conscious, eternal suffering in the torment of hell. in exchange for conscious eternal joy in the bliss of heaven. Amen. I'll take the latter. How about you?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hell is a real place. It's a place of conscious torment eternally. And heaven is just the opposite.
Hallelujah.
And there's only one way to get there.
That's right.
Through Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
In the meantime, let's say that together. In the meantime, according to James chapter 4, verse 6, the grace of God gives us victory over sin. Aren't you glad for that? And a new capacity to live a life that is progressively and consistently obedient to God. It's a process. Let's say that together. It's a process. There's a sanctification process that we need help in. Anybody here other than me need some help in that sanctification process? And it's God's grace that helps us. Amen? From the moment that we submit our lives to Christ and Christ Jesus, our Savior and Lord, the Holy Spirit seals us for eternal life. We're guaranteed that we're going to go to heaven when that time comes. But in the meantime, we're being progressively saved, if you will, from our sinful habits and from our sinful behaviors and from our sinful patterns. Amen? And so that's the process. That's the sanctification process. Until we're ultimately and completely redeemed. When we become thoroughly present with Christ. Amen? The day of our blessed hope. Amen? As Brother Carl would say, I want to be on the last bus out of here. I love his heart and fervor for the advancement of Jesus' kingdom purposes on earth. As long as I'm sucking breath on this earth, I want to be in the last bus out of here. Amen. Help us, Lord, to have that kind of fervor. Give us length of days, Lord God Almighty, in good health. To experience the rapture of your church. Anybody here looking forward to the rapture other than me? I want to live long enough in good health to experience that. I mean, either way, I'll be fine, right? I'll see you there at some point, right? But, oh man, I want to experience the rapture of the church. Practicing my rapture jump every day as I walk along. I don't think it's going to take much effort, though. And so the grace of God gives us eternal hope, gives us everlasting comfort and encouragement to strengthen our hearts in this life. Keeping us steadfast and on course in every good word, in every good word, in every good word, and in every good work. According to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 16, check it out. Keeping us steadfast, keeping us on course in every good word. Uh-oh. The tongue is either an instrument of life or death. What are we saying? What are we doing? Are we staying steadfast and on course in every good word and work in Christ Jesus, our Savior and Lord? Holy Spirit, help us. The grace of God also provides us with the sufficiency to be sustained, catch this now, in the physical condition of our bodies. Aren't you glad for that?
Amen.
I just turned 60 in November, so I'm even more grateful for that. Anybody here, as the odometer has turned another year? Grace, 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 Lord. Thank God for His sustaining grace, which also sustains us in our physical condition of our bodies through the God-appointed process of our physical condition. As God is accomplishing a greater spiritual work in us through that physical process. According to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8. the Lord spoke to the Apostle Paul about his physical infirmity. He said, "My grace is sufficient for you." Amen?
Amen.
That same grace is available to us to sustain us in the physical condition of our bodies for the process that God is taking us through, for the greater work that He's trying to do in us and trying to show us what that is. That's more important than what's going on in our physical bodies. If God is using what's in our physical bodies to accomplish a greater spiritual work. Amen?
Amen.
I know that's a hard nut to swallow. I'm reading through the book of John in my personal devotion time, and I'm seeing all these healings that Jesus did. Jesus didn't always heal instantaneously. On many occasions, He healed people in a process. Because He was after something greater in them, or He was after something greater in the crowd of people that was looking in on it. How many of you recognize that your life is not just about you? Your life is not just about you feeling better and feeling good and walking along with a spring in your step and a whistle on your lips. It's about the people around you and how they're looking in on your life and how their lives are affected by what you're going through. And by how they see how you're going through what you're going through. Amen? God may allow you to go through some difficult things, sustained by His grace, for the benefit of the people looking in on your life. So that they would see something greater. So that they would come to Christ. Amen?
Amen.
The grace of God is a gift that has been made available to us, according to Romans 5:15. It's a gift. And anyone who has ever received a gift understands that a gift is much different from a loan. A loan requires repayment or return by the recipient at times. The fact that grace is a gift means that nothing is owed in return. Aren't you glad for that?
Amen.
There is no cost to the person who receives a gift. But it must be received to actuate its intended value. Have you ever re-gifted a gift? Anybody ever re-gift a gift? You receive a gift, right? The person buys you a gift and you go, "Oh, thank you. It's just what I wanted." Bless your heart. And then you're like, "Who can I give this to that could use it, that would want it?" But either way, the gift is intended to bless the person in some way or another, and that gift that's given must be received in order to actuate its intended value. With the giving necessitates receiving, right? I used to have a hard time receiving. Anybody here ever have a hard time receiving? You just have to give. But then when someone wanted to give to me, I'd say, "Oh, no, it's okay." And so now I'll resist maybe once or twice. But then when I can see that I'm squelching the equation of give and receive here, I'm squelching this person's desire to want to give. So then I receive. I know how to receive now in the right way. In a way that facilitates the liberty that there's meant to be in that. Amen? The liberty for the giver to be able to give and the receiver to receive. There's such a blessing in that. Amen? A gift is free to the recipient, but it's not free to the giver who bears the expense for the gift. The gift of salvation costs us sinners nothing. Think of that. Let it set in for a minute. The gift of salvation, the gift of eternal life, the gift of being able to go to heaven costs us sinners nothing. But the price of such an extravagant gift came at a great cost for our Lord Jesus Christ, dying on the cross in our place. He paid the price for our sins, giving His life unto death, a hideous death at that. So that we could have life Amen?
Amen.
Once a gift has been given, the gift is ours to keep. There is a permanence with a gift that doesn't exist with a loan. When a gift is given, the giver gives it without reneging on it. And so it is with the grace of God. It is ours forever in Christ Jesus, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Anybody here ever renege on a gift? I have to admit, one time I did. And it was several years ago when I was an assistant pastor, and one of the other assistant pastors really liked the guitar that I was playing, and it was a guitar that was handed down through my wife Lucy's family and her uncle. It was his guitar. It was a beautiful guitar. It was something that was almost like a collector's item. And I would play that guitar at the pastor's meetings for our worship time. And one of the pastors really took a liking to it. He just loved the guitar. It was a beautiful guitar. And he would always comment to me about it. And I would let him play it and back and forth and back and forth. And so one time at our pastor's meeting, I said, "You can have it." But the mistake I made was I didn't consult with my wife. I didn't consult with Lucy on this family heirloom type instrument. But he was so excited to receive it. He was so excited. I couldn't say no. So then I had to go home and give Lucy the news. She wasn't happy. And so over time, I saw that it really was a burden for my wife. It really was a burden. It was something that really, it really bothered her. She said, "Okay, what's done is done, but you know, you did what you did." But and I could tell it was really a burden for her heart, because it was something that was very close to her heart. Although she had taken some guitar lessons years and years ago, she wasn't actively playing the guitar, but it was something that reminded her fondly of her uncle and how that was gone. And so as time went on and years went by, I got to the place and I was praying, and the Lord ministered to me and said, "You need to go get that guitar back. Because it's that much of a burden to your wife. It's more of a burden to her than you even really realize. There's a depth of burden in her about that that you really don't know. You've moved on. Oops. But there's more to it." So I was able to get in touch with that other pastor. Amazingly, I didn't think I was going to be able to get in touch with him. But when God tells you to do something, he makes the way for you to do it, right? And so I got in touch with this other pastor. I said, "Hey, here's the situation." I went back and forth with him. I said, "You know, I need the guitar back. Do you still have it?" He said, "Yeah, I still have it." And so we made a meeting to rendezvous. And we rendezvoused, and he gave me the guitar back. And he was perfectly understanding of it. Perfectly understanding of it. So that was the one time I reneged on a gift. That was my reneging on a gift story. But I think that was acceptable in that situation. Amen?
Amen.
In the giving of a gift, the giver voluntarily offers something that is his in order that the recipient of the gift will benefit from it. The giver sacrifices something of value to him so that the recipient will become enriched by it. Amen?
Amen?
And it's characterized by a visible, generous, and voluntary exchange from the giver to the recipient. Amen? It's a tangible thing. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9 says it like this from the Passion transliteration. "For you have experienced the extravagant grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that although being infinitely rich while he was in heaven," think about that. He was infinitely rich while he was in heaven. "He impoverished himself by coming to this earth for our sake." We don't often think of it that way. And it was so that we would become eternally rich beyond measure. Amen? He impoverished his situation, relatively speaking. so that we can become eternally rich. Amen? Aren't you glad for that? If you're glad for that, say, I'm glad for that, Pastor Nick. I believe you. Make no mistake about it, the giving of the gift of God's grace is completely unmerited, having nothing at all to do with our own merit or our own innate qualities. According to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 9 to 10, check it out for yourselves. And even so much more emphatically from Romans chapter 5, verses 8 to 10, that we don't deserve God's salvation. And yet God demonstrated His amazing love for us in this way, catch this now, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were God's enemies, He reconciled us to Himself through the death of His Son. Amen? And so we can now be unwaveringly confident in the grace of God, which not only guarantees us an eternity in heaven, but it makes also available to us the grace of God in this life. Amen? Providing us with the needed grace to continue in the fulfillment of His word and the fulfillment of His perfect will and plan for us. Amen?
Amen.
By the grace of God, we are justified before His holy throne. By the grace of God, we have access to a new and intimate fellowship with Him. By the grace of God, we can now be trained to live in a way that honors Him. By the grace of God, we are granted immeasurable spiritual riches. Amen? By the grace of God, we have His help available to us in our every need. By the grace of God, we have the capacity to be more than conquerors over all the works of Satan. Amen?
Amen.
Anybody here with me need help in that? Overcoming the works of the enemy? We need His grace. We need His grace. We need God's grace. Amen? He's given us the capacity to be more than conquerors over all that which the enemy would come against us with. Amen?
Amen.
Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 to 16 encourages us afresh along these lines. The Amplified transliteration reads it like this: that inasmuch as we believers have a great high priest, a high priest who has already ascended and passed through the heavens, that being Jesus Christ, the Son of God, let us hold fast. Let us hold fast. Let us hold fast to our confession of faith in Him. Clinging tenaciously, let's say that together, clinging tenaciously to our absolute trust in Him as our Savior. Are you clinging tenaciously? For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize and understand our weaknesses and temptations. Aren't you glad for that? But rather, we have a high priest who himself had been tempted, catch this now, knowing exactly how it feels to be human in every respect as we are. Sometimes I wonder if Jesus really knows what I'm going through. Come on, Lord, really? You see what I'm going through here? But the Word of God tells us that He knows exactly how it feels to be human in every respect. Let that sink in every respect as we are. And yet He did not sin. And so therefore, let us with privilege approach the throne of grace, that being the throne of God's gracious favor. And let us do so with confidence and without fear, so that we may receive mercy for our failures. And we may find His amazing grace to help us in our time of need. An appropriate blessing coming to us at just the right moment. An appropriate blessing coming to you at just the right moment. Amen?
Yes.
Make no mistake about it. The grace of God is actively and continually working in our lives, sustaining us to accomplish whatever mission He has called us to in this life. Like the example of the Apostle Paul, who credited the success of his ministry to the grace of God in his life. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10 reads it like this from the Amplified transliteration. Catch this now. By the remarkable grace of God, I am what I am. By the remarkable grace of God, I am what I am. Let's say that together. By the remarkable grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace toward me was not without effect. In fact, I worked harder than all of the apostles. Though it was not I, but the grace of God, that being His unmerited favor and blessing, which was with me. Amen? The grace of God is an ongoing act of God that is working in us and through us. Make no mistake about it. The grace of God is an ongoing act of God that is working in us and through us, without which we can do nothing of any real value in God's eyes. The grace of God that has been made abundantly available to us and tangibly evident in our lives is too wonderful for words to fully describe. No volume of words could fully describe the value of God's tangible grace in our lives. It never ceases to amaze me how graciously God deals with me. Thank you, Lord, for how graciously you deal with us. I could learn something from that and how I deal with others. How about you? 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 14 to 15 says it like this from the Amplified transliteration. Because of the surpassing measure of God's grace, that being His undeserved favor, mercy, and blessing, which is being revealed to you, catch that, we give thanks be to God for His indescribable gift, which is precious beyond words. Amen? God, by His Spirit, I believe, is stirring afresh in our midst today, that as recipients of the grace of God through Christ Jesus our Savior and Lord, catch this now, we too, as ambassadors of God's grace, are to be gracious to others. The grace of God is given to us not just for our own benefit. The grace of God is given to us also to serve others and to exercise our spiritual gifts to the benefit of others. To reach others for Christ in our circles of influence who have yet to come to know that saving grace. And to build up our brothers and sisters in Christ with all the resources that God has given us, as best we can understand by the leading of God's Spirit. How well are we doing in that? How well are we doing in that? Holy Spirit, help us. Move upon our hearts to excel even more in that. Could that be a cry of your heart each and every day? God, by His Word and by His Spirit, is motivating us afresh along these lines from 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. The Amplified transliteration reads it like this. Just as each one of you has received a special gift, that being a spiritual talent or ability graciously given by God, without which you wouldn't have it, employ it in serving one another. Employ it, let's say that together. Employ it in serving one another as is appropriate for good stewards of God's multifaceted grace. Faithfully using the diverse and varied gifts and abilities granted to you by God's unmerited favor, without which you wouldn't have it. Amen? Hallelujah. Spirit of God, move upon our hearts and help us to excel even more and more and more in extending your grace to the people around us for your glory. Amen? And so now with a renewed gratefulness for the grace of God. Do you have a renewed gratefulness now for the grace of God? With a renewed gratefulness for the grace of God. As the elements are being distributed, let us come with repentant gratitude in our hearts as we prepare ourselves to participate in communion with the Lord's Supper.